All right, Luke chapter 19. On Tuesday, we have an election. Will it be a Republican? Will it be a Democrat? Does it make any difference? Will anything change? I know those who are of whatever persuasion hope that things will change. I'm not fatalistic, but I am realistic. If your guy or issue wins, will you gloat? Or if you lose, or your person loses, or your issue loses, will you hit the depression button? Our nation is literally in turmoil. And Sandy has left a lot of hurting people. Our second worst disaster event in our nation's history. The United States is windswept, rain swept, snow, following the devastation. Economically, the USA is on the brink of collapse. The only answer is Jesus. Amen. Come on, church. I said the only answer is Jesus. Amen. One heart, one mind, one person at a time. We need revival and the presence of God in America more than ever. Regardless of how this voting election goes, God has a calling on our lives as believers. We are called to bring His kingdom on earth as it is where? We are called to demonstrate the King in all His glory. We are called to be the body of Christ on earth where there's not a backup plan. The church is God's plan to showing and demonstrating His kingdom on earth and His presence, His likeness, His goodness, and His love. We're called to occupy until He comes. Say that phrase with me. Occupy till He comes. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to start in verse 11. I'd like you to open your own Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, please make sure you get one from the back. Someone will help you with one if you don't have one with you this morning. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to put a few of the verses up, but then I'll just use references. So you'll need your Bible out to see it from your own Bible. Luke chapter 19. If you need a Bible, raise your hands, would you? And I know somebody around you will get one. Okay? All right. Beginning in verses 11 through 13. Now, as they heard these things, He spoke another parable. Because He was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So He called 10 of His servants. How many of them?
10.
Delivered to them 10 minas. How many?
10.
And He said to them, please say the phrase with me. I'm reading from the New King James. Do business till I come. Say it again. Do business till I come. Now let me give you the context of this section in Luke. Jesus was making His way to Jerusalem after having just finished meeting with Zacchaeus in Jericho. Remember Zacchaeus? Climbed up a tree, saw Jesus. Jesus came down, His whole life changed. What was His name? He was in Jericho, and He's making His way to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem and Jericho in Jesus' day were 17 to 19 miles apart. The old Jericho is actually 19, the newer one more toward 17. Jesus is getting ready in this section to make His triumphant entry into Jerusalem and into town to move toward His final Passion Week. And everything Jesus says is vitally important. How many know what Jesus says is important?
That's right.
You got to look at what He's dealing with, and what He's dealing with is found in verse 1 of Luke chapter 19. It says, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear when? Because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately, therefore, He said. So he deals with Zacchaeus. He's got this crowd together, and he's making his way to Jerusalem, and he knows they think he's going to set up his kingdom. They think he's going to overthrow the Romans. They think he's going to put the Israel back up where it belongs, get rid of these captors, and the kingdom's going to be here. And that's not the heart of what Jesus is after here. They wanted to reign now on earth. They wanted to be in charge governmentally, now, on earth, push out the bad guys. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. He will return to set up his earthly kingdom, but he hasn't yet. Now, let me turn to an aside. In America, we have the right to vote. And millions of men and women have shed their blood to give us that right. Church, you should vote. It's a stewardship of freedom that we have. We should do everything we can do to see the kingdom of God brought on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray and work and bring and vote people who are righteous men and women to take leadership and authority in our country. Now, you're not voting for pastors in chief. None of those are perfect either, by the way. But you're not looking at perfect people, but we need to get people who, as much as possible, line up with what the Scripture says. If you vote for what the Scripture says, whatever happens, your side prevails because Jesus wins. Someone say amen. We are salt and light. And we're called to impact every square inch of our culture and not hide the gospel under a bushel basket. Do your part to bring the kingdom of God on earth. Remember, church, whatever persuasion you are, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you are a what? Christian first. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's an old song. No matter what happens, the old song says, we're going to keep on singing. We're going to keep on shouting. We're going to keep on praising the Lord till the world knows that Jesus saves. We're going to keep on keeping on. Turn to each other and say, come on, let's keep on. So Jesus needs these people that he's with to understand this is going to take a little time. And this is the context behind this story that he's telling. It's going to take some time. The prophet that we just finished, if you're in the daily Bible reading with us, who prophesied to Israel said, you're going into captivity in Babylon, if you recall. You need to plant your crops and build your houses, work to the betterment of the communities that you are in, because you are God's people in a post-God culture. Welcome to America. You are God's people in a post-God culture. But what does he tell us we need to do? He says, you gotta do business. Now, it says a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a country. What does that mean? In that day, what would happen is when there were going to be kings who would oversee and lead regions, they traveled to Rome to get their papers that they would be in charge. Their coronation, if you will, took place in Rome. And then they would travel back to their home to then lead and rule over that region. The journey could take months. Jesus is saying, and saying to them, there's a time between the kingdom being granted and the rulership being set up. How many know we're still in that time? Come on, church, we're still in that time. Is it the kingdom of God you see all around you right now? But how many are working hard to help it be that way? You bet. So there's a time between the kingdom being granted and the rulership setting up. He says, here you go. You got the ball. I tossed it to you. It's yours. Run. The game is underway. How many love running with the ball? You got it? How many have the ball? Okay, 3, 4. How many have the ball in your hands? Come on, you're running with the ball? The game is underway. He gives his servants a mina. Now, if I were from back east, you wouldn't know if I were saying the word minor or mina. He gives them a mina. Just a mina. That's not funny. I'm going to go on. Now, the mina actually totaled about 1/3 of a year's wages. Some texts say it was actually $64,000. Well, that's more than what most people make for a third of a year's wages. But nevertheless, different people say different amounts, but it was a lot of money. It was a good sum. Jesus has given gifts to each of us to do business with until He comes. Then He says, occupy, in the King James, say it with me please, occupy until I come. The NIV says, put this money to work until I come back. The New Living says, invest this for me while I'm gone. The English Standard Version, invest this for me until I come. New American, do business with this until I come back. The World English, conduct business until I come. The Douay Rheims Bible, trade till I come. And let's go back to the King James. Occupy until I come. Now the Greek word here is pragmatoumai. Pragmatoumai. You want to say that with me? No? Okay. It means literally busy yourself with something. You're about the business. Ted, on the boat, when you guys were working, how many hours a day would you work? When you're out to sea? 15 to 30 hours. All the time. All the time. When I worked in the fish cannery of southern Alaska, I was on the cleanup crew in a New England fish company. That's not even in existence anymore. But we cleaned. I was on the cleanup crew. And on those girders that would go by with the fish, we went by after it was all said and done. And we had to spray and steam off every single fish scale. Every one. Because if it was left on there, it would put a glaze and throw those things all out of whack. It would cost a lot of time and attention and money. So we were working, when the fish were running, we were working 22, 23 hours a day. And we'd take these mug-ups, 15 hours, and you'd sit over in a corner, go to sleep for 10 minutes, and get up and go. And they fed you like kings, and you still didn't come back fat. It's amazing. But we worked. We worked all the time. Ted, if somebody on your boat there, when you were out to sea, didn't do their job, what did it mean? Slacking. What would you do to the slackers? But it wasn't a good thing. Church, we're to be about the business. Working. You say, Pastor Kev, we're not saved by works. This has nothing to do with being saved. This is because you're saved. Jesus has radically transformed you. The first section of Luke 19 deals with Zacchaeus, who was completely transformed inside by Jesus. Now we're dealing with those who are walking with Jesus. And what are we to do before He comes back? We're to work hard for the kingdom of God until He comes. You say, I'm retired. Get off my case. How many know you don't retire in Jesus? In Jesus, there's always somebody to help, somebody to serve, somebody to pray for, somebody to pray with, somebody to, you know, the kingdom of God to stand for, truth to declare, somebody to share the good news with. Do you think so? So, trade. Busy yourself. Occupy till He comes. He says, I'm coming back and I will check and see how you did. God looks for fruit. Say it with me. God looks for fruit. Now, there are different kinds of servants in this section. And this is where you need your Bible out, because I'm going to go on now to verses 14 and 15. Luke 19, verses 14 and 15, reading from the New King James. But his citizens hated him. And he sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. By the way, this is a literal story that came true. Herod, one of the Herods and his son was going to be over a particular section of rulership, and the people hated him, and they sent 50 of their people, of the community people, to Rome to argue against this man getting his rulership. So that was literally fulfilled as well as spiritual meaning. And so it was, verse 15, that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Some people, though God has created us and set this place up to be his own, reject him and hate him. How many of you know there are God haters? The citizens of this place. When Jesus came, he was hated by people. They didn't want him. He was traitorous to Israel, some thought. And isn't it interesting that some hate God and yet get so angry at God when things don't go their way? Troubles come. But let's learn about his servants and how did they handle themselves. There are good servants, verses 16 through 19. Verses 16 through 19. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to them, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, You also, be over 5 cities. Notice it wasn't an honor necessarily based on amounts, but based on stewardship, obedience, and faithfulness. We may not be the biggest church in the West, but we're called to be obedient and faithful to whatever God has given us to do. Amen. You may not lead 5,000 to Jesus. You may not be the next Billy Graham, but you're right where you are, and God loves you and has his hands on you, and he's given you something to do with the gifts that he's given. It's not amount, it's stewardship, obedience to it, and faithfulness. Those who faithfully used and took their opportunities that they were given for the master to invest beyond themselves made a return for the master. That little song says, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket. What Israel did. I just want to fit in with all the rest of the countries. I don't want to look any different. After all, I wouldn't want anybody thinking I'm too radical of a Christian. Oh, don't worry, no one ever will. But do you hide your light? Or do you shine your light? Do people know they can come to you for prayer? And that you'll help them, support them, strengthen them. They made an investment beyond themselves and got a return for the master. And that's how Jesus wants us involved in life. Moving forward, forward thinking, forward looking. What opportunities have you given me? What can I do today in my neighborhood, on my job, where I go to the doctor, where I live? What kind of difference can I make today, Lord? Using the opportunities he's given. Looking for open doors, inviting people to church, praying for hurting people, sharing Jesus, not going to sleep at the wheel, not concluding that he isn't coming back, not living like the next servant, a total fear-based life. The wicked servant. Verses 20 through 26. 20 to 26. Then another came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I've kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you're an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit. You reap what you did not sow. And he said to them, out of your own mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. You what? I will what you? You wicked servant, you knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Then he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. He who takes advantage of this opportunity given to him will be blessed with the fruit of reward and fruit. Those who lazy out and don't take their opportunity, who live in fear and say, I'm not doing anything, you will lose the opportunities you've been given. The Bible background commentary says this, not only was this servant's failure to invest the money contrary to the king's order and common sense, he even failed to protect the money. He could have given it to money changers. In those days, that meant it would be stored in a temple treasury, or even they might have loaned it out. There weren't very many people borrowing, so they could charge exorbitant interest, and you'd make a lot of money for the person that you invested the money for. Or he might have even kept it in a strong box. Wrapping money in that day in a perishable handkerchief was considered one of the most irresponsible ways to take care of money, and suggest that the servant was stupid or treasonous, or most likely both. The implication was that the servant didn't expect the king to come back. And so he wasn't at all concerned with the king's business, and he wasn't concerned with the king's return. Church, Jesus is coming back. Come on, someone say amen. Jesus is coming back, and I believe we're living in a day where it's a lot closer than it's ever been in any other generation. Are you ready? If you don't use your opportunities, you lose them. Some say, watch. Some say, well, I'm just a disobedient servant. But I'm still a servant. Really? If you completely live contrary to the purposes of God, though you may have stood in line to receive a mina, does that mean you're a servant? A servant says, what is the king's business, and how can I best do it? Amen. I'll be about your business, Lord. Amen. I want to do what you want me to do. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that old song. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Amen. Oh, Lord, sometimes I know I've been disobedient. Forgive me. I love you with my whole heart and soul. I want to be an obedient servant. But he lost his opportunities. Now, though he's not our story today, Zacchaeus had a total, complete life change after he met Jesus. You can see by what he valued even changed. He valued people, not his money. He said, I'll give away up to half of what I've got, Lord, because I so much want to please you. This wicked servant didn't like the king. You're an austere man. You try to get what you don't deserve. It wasn't about the king's business. It's not just enough to not just hide your light. We gotta shine our light. It's not enough to not just not hide. We gotta shine.
Amen.
Go like this. Now look at each other. Say, shine on. Now look at the enemies. Look what happened to the enemies. Luke 19, verse 27. Bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. These people hate the ruler and don't want him to be their master. Some hate Jesus and they don't want him to be their master. They want to rule their own lives. They choose, make choice. We each make choice. Come on, say it with me. I make choice. Choose to accept him. Choose to reject him. But there's a heaven and there's a hell. And your choice determines where you go. Church, we need to live in such a way that we make it really hard for people to go to hell. We need to love people so much that we do everything we can to stand between them and hell. A few weeks ago, I showed a picture. Remember the guy in the golf course with the house burning behind him?
Yeah.
Too much like the church. Well, at least I'm fine and my game's going okay. No. We have people hurting who need Jesus. We're surrounded by a dark and dying and lost world where people need Jesus. Family needs Jesus. Friends need Him. Oh God, I want to occupy till You come. I was given a video by Andrea a couple weeks ago, and I did watch it, the part about Anthony Berger. Some of you remember Anthony Berger, one of the greatest pianists who ever lived. And he died, actually, while he was on a cruise playing We Shall Behold Him. Now, if you've ever seen him play We Shall Behold Him, the man is triumphantly playing that piano and every key on that piano for the King. That's right. And he slipped at that moment into the presence of the King he was playing for. It was heartbreaking for those around him, not for him. We need to occupy till He comes. And if we're about the King's business, if He comes or if He calls us, we have no shame, no condemnation, no heartache. We have done what we've been called to do. Our life brings light. Our life bears seed, and we plant the seed, and we bring the Word, and we water it, and we do everything we can to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We do everything we can. So a dark and dying world and people who are hurting know that Jesus loves them. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is everything. And our friend goes to mainland China, and regardless of a government who tells her to keep her mouth still, she declares that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. How can we do any less? Church, let us so live that we understand we're believers. Come on, turn to each other and say, I'm a believer. We're people of faith. We're people of what? We're people of faith. Not fear livers. Not living in fear that caused one servant to throw away his opportunity. But understanding that we get to see Him face to face and the King's coming back. And I want to do business till He comes. I want to occupy till He comes. I want to bring forth fruit till He comes. I want to see people come to Jesus, be filled with the Spirit and the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Oh God. We can do it, church. We can do what God has called us to be. I was talking to somebody the other day who said, you know, I'm trying to pastor a church around here in Port Townsend, and you know, there's a lot of religions. And I said, yeah, there are a lot of people that need Jesus, aren't there? We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Regardless of how an election goes on Tuesday. I'm a believer today. I'm going to be a believer on Wednesday. I love Jesus today. I'm going to love Him as much, if not a few days more, on Wednesday. My salvation isn't wrapped up in a political party or in an election, but I will steward my responsibilities and do what I'm called to do, and I will stand for the Scripture, and I will stand for morality. I get the word out. I will stand for what the Bible teaches, even when it's not popular, even when people may not like me. I'll look at them and say, yeah, I love you. But occupy. Don't give up. Don't give up your place. Don't give up your walk with Jesus because some people don't like it. Occupy. I have seen multitudes of teenagers and young people standing before the Lord with their hands upraised, shouting to Jesus with all their heart and might, go forth to change their families and bring the gospel on earth. And we get to join in with them. And it doesn't matter about age. It matters about being faithful, obedient servants of the Lord. What are we going to do? What can we do? There are four things I'm going to leave you with. Four things that we're called to do. To occupy, to storm the gates of hell. The Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. How many of you have ever seen gates chasing someone down? We think of that defensively, and really it's an offense for the kingdom of God and for the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the onslaught of the church coming to proclaim Jesus and His kingdom. Amen? What are we called to? Number one, prayer. We're called to prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You still 7:14 praying? Intercede, moving the hand that moves the world. Warfare prayer. Onward, Christian soldiers. Warfare prayer from the army of God, believing we're going to bring His kingdom on earth. We're going to see demonic hordes flee in the name of Jesus. Prayer. Number two, care. Care, John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a mission. That mission is not finished. He said, go and make disciples. We care about hurting people. And though some people seem resistive and may reject you, you can still care. Number three, share. Go. That's where it says go and make disciples. Matthew 29:19. Go. What does it mean? It means your eyes are open. Your head's up. You're not hiding. Your shoulders are squared and you're walking on and marching on like the church of Jesus Christ and the army of the living God. Not blindly looking to escape, but to minister His presence to a dark and dying world. Share. There is no other message of hope and help. No other message of life. None. But you've got it. Come on, raise your hand. Now say, repeat after me. I got it. I can be counted. I got it. So you called to prayer, called to care, called to share. And I'm going to give you one more. Church, you're called to dare. Dare. Dare to believe. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him who believes. The Greek word is pistuo, and it means to have faith. I've got faith in this great big God of mine who's put a great big light inside. Ephesians 3:20, I had to work Ephesians in there somehow, says he can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Dare to believe Him for your family member. Dare to believe Him for your friend. Dare to believe Him and to do what He's called us to do. You say, you know, Pastor Kev, I'm not quite big enough. I don't feel big enough. You know, you're up there shouting and I'm sitting here pouting. No, nobody's doing that. But I don't know if I can do it, because I feel like this. But even the little cat feels big under the paws of a big dog. You're under the wings of a great big God. So you feel like, okay, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So this is me. My name? Is Killer. My name is Killer. We're killing the devil. I can do what God's called me to do. How many know Chihuahuas are big dogs in their own minds? But regardless of all that, here's who you have inside of you. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who's in charge, who lives inside. Says you can do what God's called you to do. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll. And it's seven seals. How many of you know that no matter what happens on Tuesday, God is not shaken? No matter what happens, our salvation is in Him. He is the one in whom we trust. And our job is still the same. Our job remains the same. Do business, trade, use this money, go for it, give it all you got. Occupy till He comes. Stand with me, musicians, will you come? We'll go back to the key of G. This great big light of mine. How many know you can do what God's called you to do? Four of you. Very good. And in closing, how many of you know you can do what God's called to do?
Yes.
Come on. Turn to each other. Say, I can do what He's called me to do. Father, we put our trust and our faith and our belief in You. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we've come to be Your servants. Oh, Lord, we are about Your business, and we thank You for Your redemption, Your purpose, Your grace, Your majesty, Your power that lives within us, the Lion of the tribe of Judah who's inside. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, we will go quickened, healed, full of life and anointing, knowing that we don't have to hang our heads, but shine the countenance of Jesus all over this place. Lord, we pray that this week we'll be sensitive. We choose to be sensitive to opportunities You give us, and we'll take the opportunities, Lord. Together, one more time, we pray, pour out revival, O God. Pour out revival in this region, Amen. And we thank You for doing it. Amen. O God, that You'll save Port Ludlow and Port Hadlock and Port Townsend and Port Gamble and Chimicum and all places all around the Olympic Peninsula, and Washington State and the United States of America. Into Your hands, O God, we commit this nation. And we pray You'll fill this earth with Your glory as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you need to pray to surrender your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. We'll be here and honored to pray with you. If you'd like to full release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're honored to pray for you. We'll be here to do that. If you need to take time at the altars, there's chairs, there's places around to find in prayer. And if you want to talk, we're here to do that. But go out knowing you're here to occupy with rejoicing until He comes. Amen.